Our scripture today is from Matthew 1, and we read together. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." There's just something about children and Christmas, the excitement of lights and decorations and gifts. It's that one time of the year when everyone gives to everyone. And it's a practice that Christians started, which today is celebrated around the world, even in religions that do not necessarily celebrate Christmas. All around the world, people participate in the practice of giving gifts, and rightly so, for this practice started with a celebration of the greatest gift God has given us. Jesus didn't just come. He was given. He was gifted. And when Paul writes and thinks about this gift of God, he says, "God, thank you for this incredible gift in Christ Jesus. I cannot put it into words," says Paul. "It's too big for me. It's something that silences you, that takes you into awe and wonder, this great gift from God, Emmanuel, God with us." And I'm always amazed at how children at this time of the year receive and understand something of this mystery and this greatest gift ever given. The poet John Shea writes a poem through the eyes of a child, Sharon's Christmas Prayer. She was five, sure of the facts and recited them with slow solemnity, convinced every word was revelation. She said, "They were so poor, they had only peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to eat. And they went a long way from home without getting lost. The lady rode a donkey, the man walked, and the baby was inside the lady. They had to stay in a stable with an ox and an ass. But the three rich men found them because a star lifted the roof. Shepherds came and you could pet the sheep but not feed them. And then the baby was born. And do you know who he was?" Her quarter eyes inflated to silver dollars. "The baby was God." The Christmas story as told by a child. Joseph and Mary travel on a donkey, no room in the inn, birth in a stable, the star, the shepherds, the wise men, and then, of course, the baby, God. And for us as adults, it's so easy to miss how amazing that story is. The baby was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What an amazing statement. That the Maker, the Creator, the Sustainer of this universe is born as a baby and lives as a human person on this earth and gives us God's power, and He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus will be called Emmanuel. Jesus Christ is God with us. And throughout the Old Testament, God constantly says to his people, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. And in Jesus, these words become flesh and blood. I'm with you. Jesus gives form to the promise. I am with you. Jesus embodies the story. I am with you. And Jesus gives power to the promise. I am with you. And all week, I've been thinking about these words, Emmanuel, God is with us, and what they mean to us today. And I have some thoughts, and I want to unpack them briefly with you today. And I pray that as I do so, the Spirit of God will speak to you and to me. The first thought I want to share is this, that because Emmanuel, God, is with us, we can be connected to God. Isn't that wonderful? We can be connected to God. You see, the fact that God is with us doesn't automatically mean that we are with God. Would you agree with that? Just think about it. The fact that God is with us does not automatically mean that we are with God. And I know that as an example, as a preacher, every time I speak on a Sunday, the fact that I am with you, the fact that we are together, the fact that I am aware of you, even as I speak, does not automatically mean that you are with me now. Maybe you're thinking about what happened last night. Maybe you're wondering about lunch. Maybe you're thinking of someone you've seen during the week or heard of during the week. The fact that God is with us does not automatically mean that we are connected with him. And how often is it that we choose not to be with God? We choose to be separated from him. I say to God, God, stand back. I've got this. I can handle this. I can't live my life without you. That's actually what I'm saying if I think like that. I want to be in control. But that is what sin is all about. This is what sin is. It is the refusal to let God be God in our lives. And you know what? God allows us to live without him. In his love, he allows us to have a free will. And he says, if you want to live without me, go on. But we must know that there are consequences. And those consequences are tragic. They are tragic in our lives, in our relationships, in our nation, in our world, in our universe. And some of us today live in a tragic connection with God. And I want to reach out to you today and say to you, you can be reconnected. We can be reconnected with God. And the answer is Jesus Christ. And as I receive Jesus Christ into my life, as I trust him, as I begin to follow him, as I begin to immerse myself in the story of Jesus, as I begin to live in the story, I find myself in a living relationship with a living God who is with me. And I hope that this reconnection can happen to someone today. I really hope and I pray for that. The second thought is this, because Emmanuel, God is with us, we don't have to deal with the dark and difficult things that some of us face alone. We don't have to face things alone. We are not alone. And I know that the Christmas season is a very difficult time for many people. I know that. Just last week, I was talking to someone that I haven't seen for a while. And I asked, how are you doing? And this person just burst into tears. And they said to me, they don't know how they're going to make it through Christmas time and they go into a new year without their parents. She lost both her parents this year. And she says, it's so hard. And this time of the year, it feels harder. And I know that today there are some of us We had the first Christmas, or we are celebrating the first Christmas holidays without the presence of someone you knew and loved, and it's difficult. I know that there are some of us in relationships that is really experiencing tension after the year that has passed. And during the year, you can avoid one another, work, eat, sleep, just go into a routine. But now it's holiday time and you have to be together, face one another, spend time together. And you don't know how to see through this holiday. There are some of us who struggle with addictions. And with Christmas parties and year-end functions and New Year's parties taking place, it's sometimes just so hard to stay sober. Some of us struggle with disease, the diseases of our bodies, illness, sickness, disease of mental health, our minds, our spirits, the illness of someone else close to you. And all I want to say is that we do not have to deal with it alone, because Emmanuel, God, is with us. God does not take us out of our difficult situations. God enters into our difficult situations. God comes in with a parachute. God comes to be with us in Jesus Christ. We don't have to be alone. And Paul said that nothing in all of creation can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. And some of us need to know this today because of what we are facing. You are not alone. One last thought. Because Emmanuel, God, is with us, we can share this promise and reality with others. There are other people with whom we must share this promise. We really do. Every day we are surrounded with people who don't feel God's nearness. People who feel abandoned every day, feel that God has forgotten them, and someone needs to embody God's presence for them. Someone has to embody Emmanuel, God, with us. It's like the story of the little girl who couldn't go to sleep. And after her mom had told her to go to bed a million times, but felt like a million times, the little girl comes out again. And she says, I can't sleep. And her mom says, you better go to bed now. And she says, no, mom, I'm scared. And her mom says, but Jesus is with you. And the little girl says, it doesn't help. I need someone with skin on. I need someone with skin. And we are surrounded by people who need God with skin on. And as we receive Christ into our lives, we become the body of Christ for others. I try to get a bit strategic during December, especially the last 2 years. I've tried to be really intentional in practicing being strategic and asking God, I want to know who's suffering during this Christmas time because I want to share you with them. I want to embody you, God, for this person. And we don't just do that by giving gifts and celebrating together. We do this by giving the presence of God, not just the presence of money. It is God's presence through us that is needed. On Thursday, I got a call from someone. Her father is dying. And she says, my father doesn't want to live anymore. He's giving up. He doesn't want to stay in hospital. He'd rather just come home. But he's weak. He's tired. And the doctors say that there's no hope. What should I do? Now, what do I answer her? What do you say to someone in that situation? You say nothing. You just have to be there. You just have to listen. And yesterday, I get a call again. And she says, Melissa, just thank you for being there. Thank you just for being there, for being available. I could just pick up the phone, talk. You listen, you pray. I know we're not alone. It's in just being present. To whom can you be there this Christmas season so that when people are with you, they can feel the reality of Christ's presence in you? Because that's the good news. Emmanuel, God, is with us. The next step is mine and yours. Let's pray together. Father God, Creator, thank you for giving yourself in love to us. Thank you for the greatest gift of your presence, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've allowed yourself to dwell among us so that we can be connected to you, that we can have a relationship with you, that we can follow you and love you and know you. Thank you that this means that we're not alone, that you are with us. And Lord, so many of us are facing so many challenges this season. And I ask, Lord, come and show yourself to us. Help us to see and experience Emmanuel, God, with us. And the strength and the power that comes with that promise. Lord, we want to share this great gift with others. Give us the opportunities and the spaces, the relationships. Show us, Lord. We know that so many of our families and friends, we ourselves are in need, Lord. But show us where we can embody who you are and share your presence and your love and your grace with those in need, those who are desperate. Thank you that you've loved us into being and that you continue to love us. Thank you that we can take a part of your work in your kingdom, in this world. And thank you, Lord, that you are Emmanuel, that you are God, and that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us again today. I hope that you have a wonderful week. If you have a prayer request or a pastoral need, please contact us. You can send an email to gebedsversoeke@mosaic.com or pastoral@mosaic.com. And one of our team members will be available to speak with you and connect with you. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us all. Amen.